listening to A One Pint Stand, a Minnesota craft beer podcast that tells the stories of craft beer in Minnesota and beyond. So kick back, relax, and grab a cold one. The show starts now.
Hello, my name is Dan Bobian, and I write, produce, and host A One Pint Stand. I'm ecstatic that you're listening. This episode of A One Pint Stand is proudly sponsored by First Draft Tap Solutions, a local Minnesota line cleaning business with a personal touch. On this episode, I head to the new Dangerous Man location in Northeast Minneapolis to see how the progress is coming along on their tap room. The Dangerous Man tap room is in the old Head Flyer brewing space, and it's coming along quite well. Jeremy Coons, the new owner of Dangerous Man, has definitely come up with an amazing plan to help make the new Dangerous Man tap room stand on its own, with some great little Easter eggs that pay homage to the original DM taproom. When Jeremy and I chatted back in the winter, he couldn't really say much about the transaction and where the taproom was going to be. For obvious reasons, I think Head Flyer was in the process of letting their employees know what was going on, so there was a lot of stuff, and he wanted to be respectful of that. Now, he's able to get into much more detail about how it made sense to enter into a partnership with Neil and Amy Miller, the owners of Head Flyer, and why they're at their location where they are. If you happen to be a pint hoister or a keg stander level supporter of the Patreon, you get to hear some really funny stories about the concept of stealing glassware and how, for a youngster, getting their feet wet in the bar and brewery world, that's kind of a rite of passage. So let's head out to the Dangerous Man tap room for my chat with Jeremy Coons. Cheers. Welcome to another on-location episode of A One Pint Stand. I'm your host, Dan Bobian. Today, I'm sitting in a space that I thought that back in the fall of 2023 would not be possible anymore. I'm at the new Dangerous Man tap room in Northeast Minneapolis. However, sometimes the universe has a plan for another chapter for something that was so influential and seismically important to people. So the universe finds a way to make it come back. And that's what this interview is going to be about. I'm here with Jeremy Coons, the owner of Dangerous Man. We're on East Hennepin.
Yes. Well,
I'm staring at a beautiful, colorful mural. I see some racing stripes that are the same colors as the cans of peanut butter porter. And we're going to talk about the upcoming opening of the tap room. And this is very exciting. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you very much for coming and checking out our place.
Yes.
Walking through with the hard hat zone and
I'm wearing a cup too, yep. Just in case. You never know. Some of those bolts didn't look like they were screwed on as well, you know. It's all fun and games until you get hit in the crotch with a rake. So we're drinking beer.
We're drinking some beers. We got some nice crushers here.
Yeah,
watermelon sour and
watermelon sour. That's a go-to.
Yeah, yeah, that one is very delicious. A lot of people have been very happy about that one coming back, and you got yourself a Kolsch.
I got my Kolsch here. This is a good one. You know, the first beer after school always goes down real fast, real quick, so I wanted something real nice and light. So we're going to drain this one, and then my on-deck beer is this Dirty Rotten Biker Fest beer, light lager. Talk to me about this one.
Yeah, so that one is kind of formerly known as Danger Light. Let's hear this one. This one, yeah, that's well
I do all my own sound effects.
Yeah, that one is Danger Light. Rob and the previous Dangerous Man had created that one and actually had that one on out for distribution prior to their closing earlier on last year. And so they use that one now. We were going to potentially use that one as kind of partnerships with different organizations, and that's the Dirty Rotten Bikers club that gives a lot back to their community. And it I didn't have the ability to go up and see their event this year. It was just at the beginning of May.
Okay.
I have a senior daughter, so I had to spend my time Going and taking pictures of her prior to prom rather than that.
We're in prom season.
Yep, absolutely.
That's right.
And so next year I definitely am going to head up there, but looks like they have a blast, and they, you know, the money that they collect, they have a lot of great organizations that they support. So it's a lot of tough guys and gals that, you know, giving back to the community. So we were a part of that in a small port where we were the official beer. So it's pretty cool.
That's really cool. Now, we did an episode not too long ago. It was over at 56.
Yes.
Because you had brewed a collaboration beer with them. And it was right around the time when you had found a location for the tap room, but you couldn't say
the location
for the tap room. So I'm like, as soon as you have the opportunity to come back on, I want to talk, as the kids say, spill the tea. I want to spill the tea today. Because I almost spilled blood because Wacko Jacko in my second block was being a real weirdo. But so let's spill some Dangerous Man tea. We can talk openly about the details, because obviously we're here at the location that people know formerly as the Head Flyer tap room. It's now the Dangerous Man tap room. You walked me through the area. It's so crazy how much, like, if somebody had never been to Head Flyer, they'd never know that it existed here. You've definitely put the Dangerous Man stamp on it. And so I guess I want to start with talk me and my listeners through how that partnership came to be, how you landed on this location, because I know that you were looking at a lot of different locations, and I think you got really good advice to be like, you have to be in Northeast Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. There's no ifs, ands, or buts.
Yep.
Tell me the story of how you got to chat with the Head Flyer folks.
Yeah, it was quite a cool story, and you definitely couldn't script it. Once we decided that we were going to announce first part of October, Amy Miller and Neil Miller, who I just so happened to play a year of football with at Hamline University, and was kind of a small world situation.
Funny.
And it was actually my one and only time ever playing football was college football as a senior, played JV. I just got beat up by all of the big, tough offensive linemen. They just destroyed me. But anyway, Amy had reached out when she had heard the news, and they were already kind of looking for an opportunity to take an off ramp. Not entirely out of the industry, but their kids grew up in this brewery.
Yeah.
And I want to give credit where credit's due, because they have created this space. The space that Head Flyer was in was really it was demolished. Like the amount of work, blood, sweat, and tears that they put into this to turn this into what Head Flyer had was amazing. And their space was a great space. And so I don't want it to be considered that we were trying to undo what they did by any means. And I know that's not what you're saying, but we had different, you know, a little different vibe.
Yeah.
And so their vibe was very much kind of that, I don't know if this is the right word or not, but minimalist in the sense of kind of line art, a lot of whites.
Yep.
With, you know, kind of a dark lines and things like that, which is really cool. But it isn't Dangerous Man vibe. And so, you know, you kind of said it, and it made my heart happy when you said it. It's just kind of, it feels comfortable. It feels like home. It feels, you know, a place in which is awesome to hear you say that, because we're only about halfway done at best.
People are going to love it because it's a callback to the Dangerous Man, the background of the bar at the other one. It just feels homey. I don't know how else to say it. I'm a big wood, like no frills. And I spent a lot of time in the Head Flyer tap room. It was very chic.
Yeah.
I always felt like, God, just like, should I be dressed as somebody from Miami Vice? All right, go get the Spanx. Let's get this party started. But, you know, it was very modern and very light, you know, subway tile and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's great. The one thing I love about craft breweries is no two are the same.
No.
And they all have their identities. But I think sometimes it's fun to see, like, come in and see a place like, oh, yeah, this is a different vibe.
Yeah.
But it's my vibe.
Yes.
Like, I like that vibe. Yeah. So
this is what I feel like tonight.
You know,
what do I feel? Do I feel like I want to, you know, be in Miami Vice for a night, or do I want to go and kind of hang out? And,
yeah,
you know, what I'm really looking forward to is in the next few days, they're going to put together kind of our, our living room space, if you will. And so what was the original head flyer where they had all of the subway tile and the white with the fireplace is now going to be all reclaimed wood as well.
Yeah.
And we're in the process of finding, you know, just the right kind of flexible furniture to allow for small groups to big groups to be able to use that space in more of a comfortable, you know, a very comfortable way. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And I will tell you, like you said it earlier on when we were chatting, there's going to be a lot of Easter eggs of the original Dangerous Man. And thankfully, a lot of those are going to come from Rob Miller himself, who actually held on to a lot of those iconic, signs and, you know, pieces that you would, you know, that you would really equate with Dangerous Man Tap Room. And so he held on to them and had them up in his barn. And he had told me kind of right away that he had some things. I never would have imagined the number of cool things that he had that he had held on to. And so we're going to incorporate those either directly and reuse that, or as you kind of talked a little bit about with that reclaimed wood, we did recreate that.
Yeah.
And it's a little different, but it's still a great nod to the original.
Yeah. I think that's nice.
Yeah.
An homage to it. Cause it says to me, that's a sign of it's giving respect to like the origins, but also saying like, no, this is a new thing.
Yeah.
This is our thing. And we're going to create something, you know, hopefully equally as important to people.
Yeah.
But it has to happen organically.
Yep.
So you decide on, you talk to Head Flyer, because their brand still exists.
Yes.
That's part that I think would be interesting to hear for the listeners. So they, you know, they wanted to not do a tap room anymore, but they still, I mean, they have great beer.
Yes.
So,
oh gosh. Like, their Juicy actually is my favorite of right now in the world of hazies.
Like, yeah.
I could drink that one all day.
Yeah, it's really good. So tell me how their what arrangement or between the brew house that you have here at the Dangerous Man Tap Room, and then you still have the brew house up in Maple Lake. Talk me through all the logistics of that.
Yeah. And so as I was, you know, kind of starting to say and then got sidetracked.
I call that teacher brain.
That's teacher brain.
We're in like, the thick of it right now.
Learning lessons. I mean, hey, it's all in my head. So therefore I need to tell it.
Yeah.
but anyway, so Amy had reached out and said, hey, we're looking for this, you know, this potential off ramp, and we're in a, you know, our life situation is different and we don't want to be out completely from the industry, but we don't want to spend all of our off time in the tap room. And both her and Neil actually do have full-time jobs. So this was their passion. This was their, you know, kind of their hobby, if you will. Like, and I don't know that you can call owning a brewery a hobby, but it took care of all of their time outside of, you know, their day jobs. And so, they were very excited about the possibility of us coming and seeing it. And, I just happened to be at Northeast Hockey Arena, just a stone's throw from where we're at right now. My daughter had an early game in the early afternoon game and a late evening game. And we had some time, you know, to kind of kill in between. And so I said to my wife, let's go check out Head Flyer. I hadn't been here. And
okay.
I walked in and I'm like, oh yeah, this is something. I could definitely see it with all of the brick, with all of the, I mean, it's this, the building that it's in is the Miller Textiles building, and it's actually four buildings all put together.
Yeah.
It's something that I didn't even know that was something. And so it's very unique. And we, as you know, and with the tap room and what we have, we actually have own, or we're leasing, let me reframe that, part of each of those four buildings.
Okay.
And so you could walk from one all the way through and you're still going to be in Dangerous Man. And so, So anyway, I fell in love right away and just started to continue to have conversations. And we went and we actually had my wife and Amy and Neil went and had a dinner, and we really didn't even talk any business. We just kind of just chatted and kind of like old friends type of a deal. And I'm like, I'd like to figure something out here. And it turns out that we really are in this partnership in a lot of different ways. And, you know, I won't go into the details of what that looks like in its entirety, but we are, you know, it's important for them, for us, obviously, to be successful, but it's also important for them that we are successful. And part of that too is they're providing us the opportunity to be able to continue to brew their beer, and they will then distribute out, you know, Head Flyer. So Head Flyer will continue to be in bars, restaurants, on liquor store shelves. And you know, if you look really closely, it's kind of funny. It says it's on their cans, and on these too, it's like brewed by Rafters Brewing. You know, never mind the fact that Rafters Brewing is my LLC, but it was actually represents what I did in my garage, home brewing.
Okay.
And so it's ultimately what the LLC that I used to purchase Dangerous Man too. So
okay.
it's kind of funny. So if you look at it, you'll see what's Rafters. What in the heck? No, I thought they said Dangerous Man. No, it really is. It's you know, the crazy web that we have within business and what I'm learning and how you can do certain things and such. But yeah, so we're going to continue to, you know, keep their brand going.
Okay.
So we're actually, you know, we're part of the space that we have in this area here is going to be used for their storage.
Okay.
And so just really partnering on that and you know, trying to keep us both going in this time where breweries are kind of, you know, not thriving.
Right.
You know, we're not dead, but not thriving either.
I've had conversations with a lot of brewery owners over the last couple months talking specifically about that thing. My question is always, at what point do breweries start getting creative about pooling their resources? And, you know, if you've got this brew house, that's a perfect example. So, dual citizen. They've got like this very, very, very nice brew house.
Yes.
Four vessel brew house. Then they run a 150-foot hose. they coordinate that way. And you've got this one brew house essentially sustaining the majority of what Venn produces. Venn has a smaller tap room, like a smaller system at their tap room in South Minneapolis. But the beers that they're producing and their THC is all done there.
Yes.
I think that's crazy.
Yeah.
But it makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you think that there's going to be more of that as places try to weather the storm? Yeah. I also hear people saying there's signs, small signs, but signs that things are getting a little better.
Yep. Yeah. No, absolutely. I think you, and again, I am not speaking as an authority in this because I'm brand new to the industry.
Yeah.
But within that, I also have a little bit of, you know, the ability to be kind of naive, and to try some new things. And from where I stand and what we're trying to do is look at it differently.
Yeah.
You know, craft beer in Minnesota for sure, and actually really across the country is, from what I could tell, is very collaborative in nature. And always, obviously, you know, to the point of, hey, let's do a collab. We'll put both of our logos on there and we'll sell it and we'll both, you know, kind of rise. I think what you're describing, and I've actually seen the space with Venn and Dual Citizen, and it is beautiful.
Yeah, it's real
nice. Fantastic. Is something that's really smart, because when you have something like that, that type of equipment, it's hard to really maximize that capacity.
Yeah.
And we're kind of experiencing that a little bit too up in Maple Lake. Maple Lake is a very large facility. And
what size brew house is it?
It's a 20.
Okay.
20 barrel.
That's a.
Yep. And we got 10,000 square foot up there, and we've got a number, you know, we have room to expand with fermenters and things like that. But I mean, at this stage here, we aren't pushing it to maximum capacity by any means, but doing things like now brewing for Head Flyer and brewing their beers, what it allows us to be able to do is to be able to continue to say, hey, we are going to use this machine that we've already purchased, and we're going to get the most out of it. And then on top of it, too, we're going to get good quality employees that are going to be rest assured that they have full-time jobs.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, if you have, you don't necessarily have that much capacity, it's like, well, maybe this week it's 30, next week we'll do this, or you got to do these three different tasks here. So the more that you can maximize those facilities, the better off I think everyone's going to be. And that's a great way of doing it, the way that Dual Citizen and Venn have done.
Yeah.
Because it takes this amazing brew house and provides, you know, that it's the lifeline for two breweries.
Yeah.
And why not? Right. Yeah. I mean, it's like, let's, you know, collaborate, work together. And so, yeah.
So do you brew most of the, like the packaged product is all brewed up in Maple Lake for you, for Dangerous Man and Head Flyer.
Okay. Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
And then so the brew house here at the Dangerous Man Tap Room is a 10 barrel?
It is a 15 barrel.
15 barrel. Okay.
Substantial.
So that's substantial too. What gets brewed here?
Yeah. So we will be brewing our tap room only types of beers. And so some of the things that we got coming up, we got a Belgian Strong coming through, which is kind of a classic Dangerous Man, you know, kind of that higher octane type of a beer.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned earlier, like, you know, people aren't necessarily.
That's when you want to go from
that,
regular soft pants to Miami Vice. Beep, 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 beep. That's when you want to feel like Magnum PI. Nice. Yeah. Belgian Golden Strong. That'll get the job done.
Yep. And so, and then we're on the other side of that, we're going to do a rice lager that Rob had some recipes. And speaking of recipes, he had brought out this, you know, this bin of three ring binders, right? And like the 3-inch three ring binders.
Yeah.
You know, like the curriculum, when they'd hand you a curriculum.
Yeah,
and
like they made a big deal when I was in college. Like, now every job you apply for, they're going to want to see this education portfolio. You know how many of those fuckers wanted to see my portfolio? Zero. I'm like, what the hell were you thinking?
What were we thinking?
Oh, God.
It helped you to organize your thoughts and get yourself ready for interviews, but nobody's got time for that.
I have 700 anticipatory sets that are just sitting there waiting to be uncorked on a unsuspecting class of 38. We worked anticipatory set into the podcast. I didn't think we were going to do that. So,
hey, a couple educators.
There we go.
Bring a couple educators, and all of a sudden, no longer talking about beer.
It's like a fun version of a staff meeting we're having right here.
That's right.
If every education staff meeting had a couple six packs on the table, well, I wouldn't mind getting up so early.
It wouldn't be so bad. That was actually one of the coolest things that I saw when we were at the Guild conference.
Oh, yeah.
Like, tubs of beer right in the middle.
On every table.
Yeah, it was super cool.
Glorious.
I actually appreciate that you cracked one open right in the middle of one of the presentations that we were at. And because I'm like, oh, yeah, Dan just cracked one open. I got mine. I gave it like the minute and 14 seconds soft delay, and then I did it too.
It's there.
It's there.
It has to get consumed. You know, you don't want somebody hauling that back to a truck. They already unloaded it. Let's make life easier for everybody.
That's right. Yeah. So anyway, back to beers.
Yes.
So we're going to have a rice lager, which is one of the many, many, many recipes that Rob has. And I took a look at the three ring binders, and on the, you know, kind of on the spine of them was the numbers. So it went from like 0 to 400. Well, the last one started at 1700, and it just kind of had that dash, like just to go on for infinity. I mean, it's not 1700 necessarily exclusive in individual recipes, but every one that he has ever made is in those things. It's like
holy cats.
Yeah. I got chills just seeing it, and it was fun to see him open it up, and we were just, oh yeah, this one here, I remember this one, and you know, this is like recipe number 7. And he goes, oh man, yeah, I remember the mash got stuck on this one. And, you know,
crazy. that's really interesting to me.
Yeah.
It's all cataloged.
Yes.
Wow.
He kept it all. So, I mean, it is pretty cool. I mean, what is it? The Smithsonian? Is that where they keep all of the documents and everything of great nature within our country?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think.
Well, of course, a lot of it is the current administration. They've shelled a lot of it, but yeah, they still have they still have some stuff. I don't know. I hope to God the Constitution's still there, but maybe not. I don't know.
You never know.
Yeah. But yes, yeah, I mean, in essence, in a perfect world, all that stuff. What I think is funny is when I did the Modest interview, because they just celebrated their 10th anniversary, they had one of the signs that they had for the protesters was put in the Smithsonian. But when we did the interview, they're like, yeah, it's probably not still up. I'm like, oh yeah, that's probably because, you know, sure. George Floyd was killed, one of their artifacts went to the Smithsonian.
Oh, no,
but yes,
kidding.
You would think that, you know, that's where they keep all the artifacts. The Seinfeld puffy shirt is in the Smithsonian, which, you know, thank God for that.
I know. Yes.
But yeah, just I think that's so interesting because I'm sure as the general drinking public, we only see a fraction of all the different things. That's what brewing is so fascinating to me, because what gets to here or the chocolate peanut butter porter, that's the best iteration of that.
Yeah.
You know, there were so many different ones and tweaks along the way.
Yeah.
What's fascinating to me about that is all the trial and error and all the, you know, you do one tweak. And I think about, as I've been getting into bourbon lately, you know, I think about, like, if you're a distiller, you know, you don't really get that. You better be good at what you're doing, because you'll find out how it tastes in six years. You know, so you're going to twiddle your thumbs in the meantime. But yeah, that makes sense that there's, and I'm happy to hear you say that there's going to be a rice lager. Last summer I went to Boise, Idaho, and we visited 18 different breweries, and I would say probably 85% to 90% had a rice lager on. That's a style right now that is having a heyday.
Yeah.
Of course, the measuring stick that I use is, again, we're back to Modest. They're Supra Deluxe.
Yep.
Oh, chef's kiss. That beer is perfect, and I can drink a lot of them. And it's just nice to, you know, cracking a beer, that, like, oh, and then it's crisp and it's smooth. It's easy drinking. It dries out. Like, that's a great style.
Absolutely.
And a lot of places are doing that. So I'm happy to hear that that's going to be on the menu.
Yep. Yeah. We're looking forward to that one. That one's definitely a great one to start. And we also got, we're going to be making a Pride Sour as well.
Okay.
And then we're going to be donating some of the proceeds to Twin Cities Pride, I believe, is who we're currently partnering with that.
Oh, nice.
And I won't tell you about that one, because that one's going to be delicious. It's going to be very, very tropical type of a sour. So I'll leave that one for, you know.
Sounds like I shouldn't put my Miami Vice wear away just yet. That's what I'm hearing. Just keep it on the hanger, right?
Keep it on the hanger. Don't tuck that one away. Don't mothball that one. And then we're gonna have the ever popular Nordic Lemon Squeeze, and so that's kind of a farmhouse.
That's what they called me in high school. Is Dan Bovian here? No, but the Lemon Nordic Squeeze is. What do you need?
Your alter ego.
That's right.
That's awesome. Fantastic. And so, yeah, so we got that one. And then we're going to do a collaboration with Neil Miller from Head Flyer.
Okay.
Neil and Rob are going to go do that one up at Maple Lake. And so we're going to have it on tap. And the plan is that they're going to then have it up for distribution. And so
nice.
A great collaboration there. We're also having some conversations, too, about the possibility of, like, a legacy line, where a couple of the, you know, one or two of the tap handles will have Head Flyer beer on. And so we'll be making, you know, probably a handful of different Head Flyer beers for their distribution. And why not put it on?
Yeah.
You know, we do not want to in any way, shape, or form alienate any of the Head Flyer faithful at
right.
all. And in fact, like, and I shared this with you too, like they're juicy. It was all a dream is I wish I told you I could drink it all day. The problem is I would be passed out.
Right. Yeah.
Cause it's a solid, ABV hazy, but, a great beer. Like
yeah.
they have some really solid beers. And so, we're working with them to kind of figure out what that could potentially look like. And,
yeah.
and I'm open to it. I want to make sure that we honor them. This is their space. They made this what it is, and we're just taking it to the, you know, kind of that next phase.
Yeah. Well, I think that would be a nice way to kind of give a shout out, because, you know, obviously what people become quite attached to tap rooms.
Yeah.
And, you know, for various reasons, tap rooms come and go. But, you know, if somebody who is like in the neighborhood or came here for trivia could come in and have one of their old favorite Head Flyer beers on tap, because I think people's habits have changed. I don't go to the liquor store nearly as much as I used to.
Yep.
So I'm more of, you know, I'm having stuff at the source. So if I could come in and have like a fresh pull of like, you know, Wicked Jump Shot or Juicy, It Was All a Dream, yep. that would be pretty cool. They had a really nice catalog of beers.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a nice way to kind of like, hey, you know, you want to come have a little bit of a liquid reminder of the glory days of Sporkle.
Sporkle.
Come on down. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Well, it started as a one-night stand. I had 2 pints for a lonely hand. Bounced back like a rubber band for 3 pints. Drink a fourth in a faraway land, but I couldn't make it as a single man. So I married me this beer right here. A pint, a one-pint stand.
Hey, thank you so much for listening. Hopefully you're enjoying a one-pint stand. My aim is to help spread the word about craft beer. Enjoying craft beer is a passion of mine, and I love chatting about it with other people. A one-pint stand has a goal of helping breweries tell their stories. I love to get out in and beyond Minnesota to visit breweries, beer bars, and meet other interesting beer people. If you're also into those things, you will probably want to keep tabs on the show. So go ahead and follow A One Pint Stand on Instagram, Facebook, Blue Sky, and Mastodon. I also created a TikTok account because I was tired of Charles calling me a boomer for not having one. I would also appreciate any and all positive reviews on Spotify, Apple Music, or wherever you listen to your podcast to make it easier for other craft beer listeners to find us. If you want to be a supporter of the podcast with some of the extra change that you find in your couch cushions, I have a Patreon. There are 3 different monthly levels of support, and they're priced at $1, $3, or $5 a month. If you pledge at the $3 or $5 monthly level, you get some pretty cool perks. So go to patreon.com and search A One Pint Stand to check it out. We're up to 30 supporters, and I am floored about what that means for the show. If you like reading about craft beer, check out my written work on onepintstand.com. I love to write, and that's where you can find a lot of written content covering both the local craft beer happenings as well as my craft beer travels. I truly appreciate you listening and taking time to enjoy our stories. Before we head back to the show, I want to talk about this episode's sponsor, First Draft Tap Solutions. Brett Erickson owns and operates First Draft Tap Solutions. He specializes in thorough tap line cleaning, consultation, draft installations, and sound technical support. He has a manageable number of clients all around the Twin Cities. Brett combines his no-nonsense approach along with over a decade of brewing experience to help provide a personal approach to help keep the beer being served as it should be. He will troubleshoot, consult, and provide you with a peace of mind that other outfits simply cannot. To get in touch with Brett, email him at firstdrafttapsolutions@gmail.com or give him a call at 612 839-5304. In order to provide quality beer service, it starts with a plan. Let Brett at First Draft Tap Solutions help you out.
How about a beer?
One of the things I think, you know, as we're looking at, we're front and center on this beautiful mural. I don't know what direction wall this is, but it's there's a lot of cool stuff. It's so dangerous, man. Lots of skeletons hoisting beers. Talk to me about some of the aesthetic things in the tap room that I imagine that line between, all right, we want to tell people that this is a new phase of Dangerous Man, but we also want to, like you mentioned earlier, pay homage or give a little nod to the origin because this brand is so iconic.
Yeah, it definitely is. And so the biggest thing that I learned when I became involved with Dangerous Man is how iconic and how important that brand is to not only the people that I was bringing on as employees and former Dangerous Man people, but also fans. They come to expect something, you know, when you're coming there. And, it was never in my plans to drastically change it, but life evolves, right? And there's constant evolution. And so to say that we're creating the exact replica of the previous Dangerous Man tap room is not correct. And I don't know if you've ever been in Boston and went into and got to see the replica of the Cheers bar, right? It ain't exactly that,
no, right?
Right. But you're definitely going to be able to see some really cool things. So, we've really, really gravitated to a lot of, skeletons and skulls. And there's going to be a bearded gar. And, not just a bearded gar, but bearded gar and some of his bearded friends, too.
Yeah.
A really cool, mural made by the original artist.
And yeah, so, Jake Keeler.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah. And so, which is really cool that and in fact, this, the mural that we're looking at right here is also made by one of the previous muralists in the tap room in original Dangerous Man.
Okay.
And Jess is her name, and I'm blanking on her last name. Apologize, Jess, but it's
got to be written somewhere.
Yeah, I know it's going to be signed in the corner over there, but and her team, this has been 2 weeks that is taken to do this. And I have to preface it with her. I'm like, hey, I'm not rushing you, but for your own sanity, how much longer do you got to in this? and we show up every day and it has evolved and things have just popped. And so, I'll tell you what, one of the first things that I want to do is have one of our Dangerous Man THC seltzers and just get lost in this mural. And because it just kind of keeps going. And
I'll bring the Steely Dan album. Yeah. we'll have a good time. Yeah. There's so much going on.
Yeah.
I love, because when the announcement was made way back, last November, you did the tap takeover at Malcolm Yards.
Yep.
That T-shirt of the Phoenix rising, that's prominent in this mural. Yeah, central located, neon orange, bright blue. That's something new.
Yeah,
that's exciting. The whole concept of a Phoenix rises from the ashes, Dangerous Man reborn. I think that's such a neat thing. And just there's so much going on, like the skeletons, the all hoisting beers. This is a cool, unique, new thing.
Yeah.
It feels like Dangerous Man. It feels like new Dangerous Man.
Yes.
I think it's dangerous to try to recreate something that happened organically.
Yes.
And I want to ask you, as you've as word has gotten out, you're at events. I'm sure you get people coming up to you.
Yeah.
No. You got to have this tap room. Yeah. What are some of the, first of all, let's start with what are some of those positives that people have said? What's the level of excitement? What are some things that you've heard from people that are really like myself who are really pumped about being able to drink Dangerous Man beer in Northeast Minneapolis again?
Yeah. One of them that is almost in every event and multiple times at events and things like that has been the I remember when I was at the tap room and I got the not on the menu mix of the chocolate milk stout and the peanut butter porter.
Yeah.
We will be doing chocolate milk stout as a seasonal in distribution, but it will be an all. Oh,
this is, you know, you said peanut butter porter, and I just cracked this, and I will never. You know what? This is such a perfect beer, in my opinion. I just love it.
Rob nailed it.
So good.
It is. It's one of those. We didn't do anything to that one. We went straight from the original recipe. Some of them we went and looked at maybe some ways to be more efficient.
Yeah.
Cost effective or whatever, but we didn't even touch the peanut butter porter, including the actual label itself. The only difference is the band across the top.
Yeah.
But people talking about the chocolate milk stout and the peanut butter porter and how they love the half and half and the peanut butter cup and all that type of stuff. Like, and so we're going to replicate that.
We will have
the chocolate milk stout, all year. Rob will be knocking that one out here from time to time, and then also, of course, in distribution and what we're going to do. Kind of asked earlier, like, what is that going to look like? What we're going to do is actually do all of our distribution beer up at Maple Lake.
Yep.
We will then keg off a portion of that, and our tap room will be essentially our biggest customer.
Yeah.
And so our delivery vans and, shout out to Erica and Dustin, who are working really hard right now because tap room isn't bringing any revenue, but we sure are having a lot of expenses.
Yeah.
And without them and Sanoon and Ben and Jeremy and Mike up at production, we'd be upside down. And so they're continuing to carry us right now as we get this going. And so, ultimately they will be making a weekly run down here, filling up one of our Astrovans. And I guess it's not an Astrovan, Promaster Astrovan. That's a whole different ballgame. That's an 80s softball.
That's like,
baseball group.
That's a vibe.
No Astrovan's a dangerous man. Although that would be kind of cool.
That could be a beer name.
Uh-huh.
What beer style would befit the Astrovan legacy? The mystique. The smell.
The smell.
It would have to be.
I think you just go with beer's beer, right?
Yeah,
I
mean, beer's
just,
beer.
Just,
yep.
just beer.
Yep.
You know, you got malt and hops. You don't need to name them.
No.
It's just beer.
Just beer.
You can almost have it just in a white can. With beer written across.
That's right. And a sliding door to let just if you want a shotgun. Yeah.
So they'll be bringing down all of those that are in distribution, including all of our seasonals and all of our flagships. One of the other things that people were really asking about a lot on social media, as you were drinking a Kolsch, and I actually got a Kolsch right now. We wanted to give Kolsch a shot. Give it its time, and it's done pretty well. It hasn't been our biggest seller, shocking, peanut butter porter, and believe it or not, in distribution, Hazy has spent a little bit of time at the top.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Even above House IPA. I mean, they're really neck to neck, but so that has been pretty cool. But Kolsch is holding its own, and right now it's a flagship, and we're always monitoring to adjust. Is that something that we should always have? And the kind of the competition of it right now is the cream ale. People were very, very excited about wanting to have cream ale back. When is it going to come back on? And a cool story about that is that was the very first beer that Rob and his dad brewed at Dangerous Man was the cream ale. And every time he and I talk about it, it's like, oh yeah, it was a mess. I can't believe we even got any yield out of this thing, right? Like it was just they were trying to learn the equipment and all, and it was the old mash tun and boil kettle, they're all manual.
Yeah,
it just was like, how do we open this? We don't open that, But yeah, then everything was thrown, pouring all the malt and everything by hand. And so, but anyway, the cream ale is back. And, we haven't made a final decision as to if it's going to be back at all times, but it will definitely be back at all times on our tap room.
Rotation. But isn't that that has to be one of the great things about having a tap room is that you can kind of that's the canary in the coal mine for what's working and what's not. Yep. You mentioned, the Kolsch, I look at the can, I see 4.9 ABV. This will probably do better now than it would have like 5-7 years ago.
For sure.
So there's that to consider as well. Like that, you know, there's, it'll be nice to have things that people, I almost, not creating like a false rarity, but like, you know, you want that demand to build. Mm-hmm. If your favorite seasonal was available all the time, you wouldn't drink it.
Right.
Like Oktoberfest sell well in the fall.
Exactly.
For a reason.
Yes.
If they were on year round, yeah, people, they, I mean, I drink them because I'm not an idiot, but there's other people that, well, I don't know. But so I think it's like, that's nice to have. How many taps will you have? Have that been determined yet?
Yeah, so we have 14 taps.
Okay.
And then we are actually going to do, we're going to continue with what Head Flyer had, and they had their cocktails and mocktails.
Okay.
So we'll have the seltzer base and then kind of make in-house. And so, yeah, we're going to use that seltzer base and then make it kind of at home, that opportunity to be able to create some different types of drinks for people.
Okay.
You know? We were talking a little bit, you know, about how the industry kind of has to change. One of the ways is this collaboration, working together. I know you had a podcast with Gambit just most recently about you know breweries that are essentially saying, hey, maybe distribution isn't the way, but rather the brew pub is. And another is finding other options for people to drink.
Yeah.
Because as much as, you know, we love beer, there are many people out there, especially the younger crowd that are not really beer focused. And so some of those mocktails and the, you know, for NA option and cocktails are a great option. I don't think it's the solution. I think it's one option for people. THC is another one. You know, I love that at some point, once we get finalized with our license with that, we'll be able to serve that in cans. And hopefully by, you know, our grand opening, we'll have that going as well too. So, but yeah. 14 taps. We'll try to keep them filled. You know, 6 or 8 always will be filled by either our seasonals that are in distribution and our flagships. And then Rob, who is head brewing down here in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Once we, you know, kind of within our company, just, you know, decided, hey, this is the route we're going to go.
Yeah.
Immediately, he's like, I think I'd like to go down there. I'm like, yes, you do. Because, I mean, we've got the OG Dangerous Man brewing beer.
Yeah.
I mean, doing artwork in the spot back over there.
What's that been like for him? It has to be really exciting and invigorating to kind of be back in, you know, back in his element. I mean, obviously, I think once you're a brewer, you never really stop. I mean, binders full of women. What was it? Why can't I think of his name? The Mormon guy.
Oh, yes. I know what you're talking about.
This is the worst, but I'll edit this out. What was that guy's name?
I am.
Blanking. I've got to Google this real
Google
quick.
Google this up.
This will set up my next joke.
I get to give you a sound effect. This
is why I edit. Binders. It's a top Google search. Mitt Romney.
Okay. Yes.
You know, Mitt Romney had his binders full of women. Rob has binders full of beer recipes. Has to be really nice for him to... We got there eventually. It has to be so nice for him to be able to kind of tap into that. I think you never really lose that creativity.
No.
Whether you're a brewer, you like to cook, you do art. Like, there's something about that creative process that's really, really... never goes away.
Yeah.
I have to imagine for him, this is really kind of getting back on the bike.
Yeah.
What is his energy about this all like?
Yeah, when we met over at 56, I think I remember chatting a little bit about how the first time we met, he said to me, he says, you know, like what I took away from the conversation, my words were, I don't necessarily want to be I don't want to be out of the industry, but I just don't want to be boss.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, you've got a skill set that is amazing. Obviously, the beer built the brand, right?
Yep.
It's a beer. And then I don't want to give, you know, take away credit from the other people that ultimately built the brand as it is, because it's more than beer. It's about community. It's about, you know, giving back and all those things. But when it comes to the beer, it it's high quality beer. Yeah. And he, you know, he got to that point, and I completely understand where it's like, I don't want to make all the decisions. Yeah. I simply want to make good beer. And that's the position that I have wanted him to be in.
Yeah.
Early on, I had to kind of tap into him a little bit more because it was just the three of us.
Yeah.
You know, and like, hey, like, help me out. I'm not quite sure exactly what it is that's going on here. What do you know, what's your advice? And, yeah. You know, and he graciously provided that information. But now that we've been able to expand, we're moving forward. You know what? I love the fact that he wants to still be a part of it. And he's, you know, it's the greatest compliment, you know, that I take is that he still does want to be a part of it, even though I'm now the owner.
Yeah.
You know, and I hope, you know, that he understands too, that I love what he does. He's just a great human being.
Yeah.
And to give him that opportunity to be able to do what he loves, it's awesome. And so, you know, it's perfect. It's like peanut butter porter and chocolate milk stout together,
just
right?
Get a. Now, are you, the original Dangerous Man taproom had imperial pints, 20-ounce pints. That was okay. So let's talk about like probably not in this economy, but back in the day, you $5 got you 20 ounces of this beautiful peanut butter porter, chocolate milk stout, like. That's another thing that's changed. Like those $5 pints, I wish I could build a time machine and go back.
Nope.
Like that was a cool thing. Will you be doing flights? Will people are there going to be different? Like, you know, I'm a big fan. You know, in my advanced age, I like to sample a lot. You know, drink. You know, and brewers will tell you like, you can't really understand a beer in 5 ounces, which I agree with. But also sometimes I'm just like, I want to try some stuff. I'm a completionist. Will you do like 10-ounce pours? Will you have the tulip, you know, for that like Belgian strong?
Yes.
That's the perfect vehicle for that.
So one of the things that Rob and Sarah, his wife, and really kind of the business side of Original Dangerous Man had said is like, we had a lot of glassware. And like you said, it was like the 20 ounce, the pints, they had the tulips, they had the, you know, the all of the different types of stuff. And so we've, at least to start, we've kind of simplified it. We do have the tulips.
Okay.
And we do have a pint glass, a shaker glass. We're going to reutilize, Head Flyer actually had their sample, kind of their flight, which housed tulip glasses.
And yes, so that's right. Okay.
We kept that, and then we put a little 5-ounce line on there, and
nice.
And so we'll have that. So there will be plenty of tulips for people to potentially steal and take out. And you know, it's kind of funny. I have conversations with people about it. It's like, is it bad that people are taking it? No, Not that I want to invite people to take our glasses.
No.
The one thing you don't want to do here, though, I will tell you, is we're going to have kind of the nod to the original Dangerous Man is a lot of plants. Not necessarily like completely cover the place in plants, and not plastic plants, but real plants. And there exists a story where I believe it was Rob's mom was in the tap room and... actually, I think she was walking to the tap room and she essentially saw somebody with one of the plants and knew that lived a dangerous man. And she chased the person down and got the plant back. And she was so proud and as she should be. Right.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That was one of the big things, you know, with the Dangerous Man tap room. I was like, why do they have so many plants? I'm like,
you can kind of look in the mural too. That's built within it as well. Jess has captured that
greenery.
Yep.
Lots of greenery.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, you know, there's another brewery in town. I don't know if you've ever been to Wandering Leaf. Talk about plants.
They got plants.
I mean, I like how they grow and naturally now, you know, when they first started, it's kind of funny. I'll go back and look at pictures I took the first time I was there. Now they're like big, huge plants hanging down everywhere. So,
yeah.
Okay, the million-dollar question. Do you have an opening date?
We don't have a for sure opening date.
Okay.
This has been a learning experience for me and for all of us that are, you know, part of Dangerous Man and trying to put everything together. And one of the experiences that we're learning is kind of the logistics of actually getting a business up and running. And yeah. What are the requirements? What are the federal, what are the state, what are the city requirements? And, you know, we thought that we had kind of submitted our application into City of Minneapolis in a timely fashion. Once it was, you know, we got to that tipping point, right? Because we're trying to figure out, is this something we're really going to do? Do we get the lease? You know, you don't want to start doing those types of things. And it's just, you know, lining things up. And but unfortunately, we ran into a little bit of a hurdle, I guess, if you will. And
I like to use the term rake to the crotch.
Right.
That's what.
it was a light rake to the crotch. I mean, it didn't take us fully down, but anyway, we are now hoping to be able to be open and going in the first half of June.
Okay.
Ideally, we would have liked to have been able to open a little bit earlier, but circumstances didn't quite play out that way. We're not giving up hope. We have some options, some kind of backdoor opportunities to try to not necessarily be open, but be able to do like a some soft openings,
sure.
and things like that to kind of.
Well, you want to kind of give your staff a chance to like handle a crowd and get that
figured out. Get that done. Every brewery gets some events that they can do, 12 in a year. And so we're hoping that we're able to kind of tap into those. But at the same point, we also don't want to be disrespectful to the City of Minneapolis, because they ultimately have to approve those as well. So it's like, which process are we going? And, you know, are we trying to, do we think we're better than everybody else? Well, all those things. No, we're not. You know, We just know we want to be up and running, and we want to be able to share this cool space with people and start to develop that community that was originally put together starting in 2013 with the original tap room and original Dangerous Man, and continue that piece of it. That's what we're looking forward to. I just really excited. Just want to, you know, kind of like a kid waiting for Christmas, just want it to be here.
Yeah, I know there's always like, okay, there's like, it's almost impossible. Like when people say we're going to open on this date, I'm like, well, that's, now you just screwed it. You're not going to be able to do that. So smart, but it's getting closer. It's getting closer. Yeah. What's the food truck? So I know that like OG Zaza, I see their truck here all the time. I start drooling as I drive by.
It's amazing.
It's just like, if I ever get pulled over, they're like, sir, are you having a medical event here? What's going on? No, I just like pizza and beer. that's how I roll. What's the food situation? What are going to be some of the, are you going to do like weekly, like a lot of breweries, like they have like a set schedule, like Tuesday's trivia, Wednesday's like board game night. You know, have you gotten that far down the rabbit hole of like, okay, once we do open, Here are the things we have to have.
Yes. So we're going to follow in the footsteps to a certain point of what Head Flyer had.
Okay.
To start off with the amazing pizza of OG Zaza. We have a kind of a handshake agreement with them, and they wanted to be a part of this, and we want to partner with them. We are creating an event space in the back because we have the ability to be able to clear that space out. Head Flyer had to use it for a warehouse space.
Yeah.
And so we don't have to because of Maple Lake. And so we're going to work with them. They have a catering and included in their, you know, in their pizza truck. They also have a catering side of their business and a brick and mortar too. And so we're going to try to capture the opportunity to be able to provide OG Zaza, and they'll be doing catering within some of those events there. We're also, you know, that is an exclusive. It's not, you know, not necessarily like, hey, if you book here, you have to. Actually, people can bring in crock pots if they want, right? It's a very...
Don't threaten me with a good time. Hey-o. I just discovered white chicken chili. Open up a whole new world. Like, more tortilla chips, please. Yeah, that's okay. That's nice.
And so, but yeah, so, you know, and we're also looking at other ways to be able to partner so that we have options during, in our space there. You know, we want to give the first opportunity to pizza. Cause like you said, who doesn't love pizza and beer? But you know, there might be different groups that want to use that space, and they have their catering all figured out. That's a possibility. I mean, we're just going to provide options for people. And then as far as the kind of the weekly events, we're also going to follow in the footsteps of Head Flyer and that as well with a couple of trivia nights. We're going to turn our Thursday night into kind of a community focused night where it's not a specific, at least to start, where it's not a specific group coming in, you know, every week or whatever, but maybe it's, you know, every 2 months, every other month, you know, a group comes in and they're some sort of community group. Maybe it's, you know, we've been talking with like Sips and the Sips and Bloom, I think is what it is. And, you know, you can come in and create a bouquet of flowers. You know, another organization that we're going to do a fundraiser for them. You know, we're working with a pet adoption organization.
Okay.
And so, you know, it's really important, and you get this with being in education, to give back to the community.
Schools, oh, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, schools are a community space, and you want it to be as such that people can kind of feel able to come in, and regardless of what it is that they want to use that space for. It's different, obviously, is a business scenario where there's, you know, there's also the rent that you have to pay for it and so forth. But we want to be that community space for places.
Yeah.
And so we're open to a lot of different things and bringing those in. And but yeah, we'll definitely be having the trivia nights. We will also be having the, you know, watch parties for the sports teams.
I know this is a big Wolves hub.
Yes. Yeah. I'm learning
here.
The Wolves, and I'm excited about the Wolves. But
they're on the brink of elimination. It's not great. I wish somebody would, after tip-off, I think somebody should have elbowed Wemby right in the head because nothing would have happened. They set that precedent.
Yes.
Yeah, that's one thing that I associate with Head Flyer was like a good place, yes, you know, to watch a Wolves game, you know, Head Flyer and Falling Knife, the two, yes, Wolves bars. But they really, you know, I know that there's the writer from The Athletic.
Yep.
What's his?
John Krasinski.
John Krasinski. Yep. Johnny Athletic on KFan.
Yep.
He did a couple of beer collab releases, yes, here. And I mean, that was always high energy. They would have like live podcasts. The Dane Moore podcast for the Wolves.
Yes.
Dane Moore, former student of mine.
Oh, no.
I had him in eighth grade speech.
That's pretty
like
cool.
20 years ago.
You are the
reason. It's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy.
And being, you know, that's amazing.
Fantastic. So, well, there's a lot of fun, exciting stuff to look forward to. I am just happy to be in here in the Dangerous Man Tap Room. Say that out loud. It sounds pretty good. Jeremy, thank you so much for taking time to chat.
Thank you very much, Dan. Appreciate it very much.
This has been another on-location episode of A One Pint Stand here at the Dangerous Man Tap Room in Northeast Minneapolis. Cheers.
Cheers.
I want to thank Jeremy for taking time to show me around the new Dangerous Man space. They've really made it their own, and I cannot wait for the first part of June when they open their doors to the public. I can almost taste that peanut butter porter in my tulip glass. Now, I want to give a special thank you to Brad Ashton, Jason Berg, Marcus Dodson, Chuck Dorsey, Vicky Epper, Daniel Fisher, Todd Fitzloff, Dave Giefer, Matt Holton, Robin Irwin, Brian Ketchell, Sarah Cry, Cable Lefto, Dave Long, Ben Michaels, Brent Newman, Bree Smith, Jesse Storms, Cal Vandyhoof, and Brian Wu for being keg stander level supporters of the A One Pint Stand Patreon. You've all shown incredible generosity, and I'm grateful for it. Cheers to you all. If you happen to be a pint hoister and keg stander level supporter of the Patreon, I hope you enjoyed hearing the wacky stories about some knuckleheads stealing glassware.
While it's not right to steal, I think that when you walk off with a pint glass from your favorite spot, that isn't exactly on par with a heinous crime that would someday be the topic for a Law & Order episode. On the rare occasions where I have taken a pint glass, I do make sure to leave a decent tip and go back to that place and patronize them, and that helps me feel at peace and stay in favor with the beer gods. So I also want to thank the band Quirky for creating a nice little jingle for the podcast. I just love how it turned out, and it adds such a great touch to the show. Thank you so much. I want to give a huge thanks again to the sponsor for this episode, First Draft Tap Solutions. Whether you need someone reliable to clean your lines, install a new draft system, or you just want to chat with an industry veteran who can provide sound technical support and consultation, Brett Erickson at First Draft Tap Solutions is your guy. Email him at firstdrafttapsolutions@gmail.com or give him a call at 612-839-5304. Tell him a One Pint Stand sent you. With that, this has been another episode of A One Pint Stand, a Minnesota craft beer podcast where the pants stay on, but the caps come off. Cheers. Welcome to another... Oh, can you hear it okay?
I can hear you good.
Okay. Oh, yep, grab your microphone. Oh, yep.
That's essential.
Yep.
This is not a Parisian mime podcast. Oh, I see. He's drinking a beer,
Jeremy.
Now.
Yeah,
why do you look so sad?
Yeah,
why aren't you saying anything? It's like my first block class when they roll in. There's just a bunch of zombies. You guys have a bright future in the career of mime. All right.